following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Is expensive in-state, out-of-state, it doesn't matter. And even though you may not have had perfect standardized test scores, Dr. Pepper thinks you deserve free tuition to make your dreams come true. Go to drpepper.com and submit a one-minute video telling us how you want to make an impact on the people around you, your community, or maybe even the world. You may be one of the winners to get a piece of the millions in tuition being given away this college football season, courtesy of Dr. Pepper. Now that's one of a kind. Go to drpepper.com for more details and full official rules. No purchase necessary.
Wow, what a wild start to the football season. Record-breaking kick returns, last-minute touchdown grabs, and teams nobody expected jumping out to a great start. Not even yours truly could have predicted the twists and turns we've seen so far in both college and the pros. But one thing you can always predict, all season long, you can find the seats you want at StubHub, and often for a lot less than you think. Head to StubHub, grab your seats, strap in for what's sure to be one heck of a wild ride.
StubHub!
If you follow high school sports, you get the opportunity to be excited about this. If you don't follow high school sports, I'll shut the radio off. No, that's not right. We're going to talk college sports. We're going to talk pro sports. I think we kind of do that every day.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with Doug Duda.
Can you do the show today? I need to go take a nap. I lay stuff out for you and you just bury it. I thought my pile on my side of the desk was an embarrassment. I do things for you on this show all the time. I'm always giving for you.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
Get over here and sit on my lap, sweet baby.
Oh, Tierra Park wasn't her name?
No.
Oh.
No.
Does that change the way you look at things?
Get in contact by emailing the Dent Popper inbox at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com or give us a call on the Bruce Furniture fan line at 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-3776. Now let's head to the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Folks, glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday. Anyway, it's one of those fall days, I guess. I guess we should get used to this. We go from 90 degrees to 6 inches of rain or more in some areas to kind of a dreary day. But nonetheless, glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday. It's little Hastings college football coming up. A little UNK Loper football coming up. Both of those teams coming off wins on the weekend. And as you look ahead, the obviously the bigger games are up on their both of their schedules, including the Lopers in a number 4 against number 11 battle in all the land. Also, we got Tuesday Troutman's Trivia coming at you as well. 888-455-3776 is the number you need to know if you're going to win that $25 gift card from Troutman's Quality Meat, a grill's best friend, T-Bones, looking for you right now out in front across from Bob's Superstore. So if you know that number, you want to shoot us an email, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. We talk more Huskers. I thought it was an interesting or really neat article. Yeah, it was Dirk that wrote it. Sorry, I haven't given up on Dirk and don't want to hate Dirk now. He pointed out 10 of the monster plays in the second half comeback on the front page of the World Herald today. Interesting article there. Douglas, how are you?
Is he kissing up?
No, I don't think he's going out of his way to kiss up. I also think Tom Chattel wrote an interesting little tidbit in today's paper about it. It reads something like this. Take it outside, guys. Writers and coaches have been going at it since the first stupid play was called and the first dumb question asked. But take it to the hallway or do it over the phone. Then you don't distract from what your players just accomplished. Shouldn't we all be talking about the Nebraska-Ohio State thriller? If we're going to turn news conferences into media critiques, then let's acknowledge the countless positive stories. What if a coach came up and said, you know, that was such a great article, I'm going to let you ask all the questions. Sounds silly, right? Tom Osborne handled this stuff pretty well. Yes, Tom could get a red face with
him. God, they got to quit bringing up Tom Osborne because I think that chaps him just as much. Everything's compared to T.O.
He loved getting the last word, but he would do it via letter, ask Lee Barfneck, or a phone call off to the side. Like I've always said, getting chewed out by Tom Osborne was like getting scolded by Ward Cleaver. By the time he was done, you agreed with him. But that's just Tom Chattel's 2 cents worth, and you know, whatever. Whatever you think. But interesting, great night of sports last night. Monday Night Football in Detroit. I know a lot of people follow the Huskers because of Raiola, because of Vanden Bosch, because of Sue, have become fans and jumped on that. That's pretty good defense all over the field. And poor Jay Cutler. That's an offensive line, Doug. It's worse than our Cowboys. What does he feel like this morning?
He's got to feel like a loaf of bread that got ran over by a Mack truck, because they came after him, from what I saw when I got back from volleyball last night, got to him a lot, it looked like.
Yeah, he never had time. And, you know, the guy continued to make plays, kept him in the ballgame. You know, Forte catches a pass down the middle. The game's probably closer. He extends the drive, at least gets him in a field goal range. But I thought that defense was good, and Fairley is going to be a big, big force, too.
Here's late breaking news from the world of sports on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Tony, I don't know. I don't read these blogs, but when I'm alerted to them, I get on them. You know how people are watching planes. I'm looking at this right here. Nebraska doesn't have practice. They have a bye week. You're looking at maybe some recruits, hopefully. But there's a report. There's a report that there's a plane with Bo on it headed to the southwestern portion of the United States.
So what?
Mike Stoops got fired at Arizona last night.
Oh, there's no truth to that at all. There's no truth.
Seriously. Mike Stoops got fired, though, last night.
Yeah, 1-5.
Boy, that came crashing down quicker than Billy C. Lost the last five last year, kind of got thwarted, thrown around of the bowl game, went 1-5 to start this year. The only win was over a FBS school.
Lost Oregon State.
A, yeah. Bye-bye. Mike Stoops is out, so Bo's probably not happy about that either.
No. Well, I'm sure Bo's happy about something this week.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, a buddy of his.
I'm sure. But still, that was just an awful start. I thought you were referring to our friend from down the road, Donovan Trumbull. Unacceptable 77 at state golf meet. She leads by 7 or whatever it is, 5, whatever it is.
Danielle Lemick shooting a... That seemed to be the number yesterday. Nobody really went low in the state girls golf tournament, which is continuing today, and probably not going to be quite as nice today. But, you know, all things considered, from what we've seen from some of these tournament conditions over the last few years, this ain't bad. And the girls are out there. Danielle Lemick, Donovan Trumbull trying to become just the second girl in the history of state golf to win 4 state titles. The other was in Class A. Has a 5-shot lead, but it's over 3 different players. So, you know, if Danielle would happen to struggle today, maybe one of these girls can catch her. Kelly Haynes from Shadron, Emma Harris from Wahoo, Brittany Setta of Boone Central. But they all shot 82s yesterday. You can't, I would think, even if Danielle struggles, you'd have to throw a 72, 3-4 at her to catch her. So hopefully Lemick is able to bring it home. In Class C at Quail Run in Columbus. McKenna Kime of Grand Island Central Catholic is in 6th. Aaron Boone of Central Catholic is tied for 10th. No one from the area is in the top 15 in Class B. Unfortunate incident for Madison Yurk of Adams Central. On the way home, they're playing in Grand Island, so they can just drive back to Hastings, obviously. On the way home, they realized that on the 18th hole, she wrote down the wrong score. And so she was looking to become the first 4-time medalist from Adams Central. Obviously, they called back. She gets disqualified. She'll be able to play today to try and help the team score, which hurt them yesterday because they're in last now at 12th place. But, again, this is on such a small scale because it doesn't involve millions of dollars, but it does involve youngsters, you know, hearts and morals, and everything is done right here, but it's such a psychotically stupid, insane rule, and it has nothing to do with the NSAA, which I've, you know, got on a couple of times for some of the stupid rules that they have tried to enforce cross country. But you know what, golf, we're way past this anymore. When everybody in the world that's in that group knows she didn't cheat, we change it to a 6. or whatever. I think she took a 7 and wrote down a 6. The girl keeping her card wrote down a 6. The official score in the group had her for a 6. She actually has a 7. She gets DQ'd. This has to be changed by the members of the rules of golf. Nobody does this anymore. And if you want to cheat, you're going to cheat anyway. So, you know, you do the honorable thing. You do the right thing. You make mistakes. You know what? You make a mistake and you get burnt in the backfield at Nebraska and somebody throws a touchdown pass over your head. You're not automatically banned for the rest of the year. It's just a stupid rule anymore. It's, you know, take care of the stupid rule, golf. Getting back to that, but hopefully she goes out and throws down a good number today. In Class A, your team leader is Lincoln Southwest by 7 shots over Grand Island. In Class B, Elkhorn South has a 3-shot lead over McCook. And then Holdridge is 11th, Adams Central 12th. In Class C, your tightest race, Boone Central and Valentine are tied for the lead. Wayne is 2 shots back. Grand Island Central Catholic is 4th, 6 shots off the lead. Minden 8th, Central City 9th. St. Cecilia sets in 12th. In the race there, and in Class A individually, Grand Island's Abby Otto tied for 5th. So state golf continuing today.
We're going to talk to Daryl Morris here shortly. Shelly Smith will join us today, about a half hour. Who? About a half hour. Our friend Shelly Smith, talk a little Al Davis.
Tell her we didn't have time for her today? We're busy?
No, I didn't.
Shunned us yesterday? Nah, she's good stuff. We'll have Shelly Smith, who was unable to grab us yesterday, but will join us later on. Today. So 888-455-ESPN. Let's go to the fan line, or we got Coach Morris. We got Coach Morris. That's awesome. Beautiful. Awesome. That was quick. What did you, like 2 numbers? You got him on speed dial, Maren?
Yes.
Great. Daryl Morris joins us, head football
morning,
coach. What's up, man?
What's going on?
20-13, coach. Holy cow. What happened, man? That's terrible. You only won by 7.
I know it.
Jeez.
Good for popcorn sales.
520 yards. Defense does what it's been doing all season long. I guess the one thing that kind of you've had some turnover problems, not so much as the Wayne State game lately, but you've had some, and some kind of came up in the red zone, an important spot, obviously, on Saturday. You go back, you look at the film. Where did you see the mistakes?
Well, I mean, the one fumble by Tommy Flanagan was, you know, that was an effort deal. You can't, I mean, the kid's trying to get in the end zone and score a touchdown. The ball was actually an incomplete pass, but, I mean, you know, neither here nor there. But he's given an effort deal. Jake Spitzelberger's interception early in the second half was just a poor decision on his part, throwing the ball back over the middle late like that. He could have ran for a first down, so, and he knows that. And then Ricky Trinidad, a young running back, you know, coughs up the football, you know, so. But, you know, our defense was able to create a turnover deep down in our end, and then we go on a 95-yard march for a touchdown. And, you know, that's kind of like what, you know, you like to see that kind of thing. You like to have that kind of capability.
Daryl, it's been brought to my attention during the broadcast, Coach O'Boyle made a comment about something about his players feel that there's a chip on their shoulder, something to that effect, because UNK doesn't recruit any of them. Basically, they feel slighted, basically. You want to respond to that?
Well, you know, that's an interesting comment that Bill made. And I've always known that that's the spin they would put on the pre-game speech in the locker room, but never actually heard him say it, you know, publicly. And obviously, there's nothing further from the truth. I mean, there's a lot of kids on that team that we've recruited. But the fact of the matter is Shadron State has anywhere from 4 to 6 full rides, more than we have. Bill O'Boyle's got enough money to buy every kid on my team and did not do that. So if anybody's getting slighted, it's the guys that play at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, not being recruited by Shadron State College. Now, you know, where that comment comes from, I don't know if the root of the problem is their inferiority complex that they have about Kearney, about the University of Nebraska at Kearney and Loper Athletics or Loper football, I don't know. But, you know, it's certainly a million miles away from the truth.
Daryl, I think that's also been the spin, and I'm not saying from you or coaches there, but I know the community, when UNK used to be trying to catch up to UNO and then surpassed them, that some of the fans said, well, you know, use that as a rallying cry. Omaha didn't want these kids, and Kearney did. Is that pretty widespread? I mean, does Wayne use it? Is that something that, I guess, goes on?
You know, I don't know if it does or not, to be honest with you. I mean – we recruit anybody that we're aware of that we feel like can help us win a football game, and that's a good student and you know, can do college work at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. So, you know, there's a lot of kids on that football team that we've recruited. Maverick Churchill, for example, had an official visit to UNK and chose to go to Colorado, chose to go to Shattern State College, probably because they offered him more money than we did. So, I mean, there's just example after example of young men that are on that football program that UNK tried to recruit. There are some on our football program that Shattern State tried to recruit. So, you know, just to flat say that, you know, there's not a kid on our team that they recruited and we're there, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's good for the locker room, but when you say it publicly, then I think somebody's got to respond to that and let everybody know that it couldn't be further from the truth.
It's interesting, Tony, because you just – this the world of recruiting. It's just an interesting battle. Sometimes a kid, hey, I want to go to Kearney, but my three brothers and my dad and my uncle all went to UNO, and they're going to offer me more money. I have to go there. You know, a kid from I know a couple of kids that went to Shadron that would have liked to play football at UNK, but they wanted to be vets. They wanted to. That was what they wanted to do when they graduated college, so they go to Shadron. And I'm sure that that's the case, Division I. Heck, there's kids that could be playing Division I ball on this UNK football team, but this they chose Division II. That's kind of the motto of Division II, so makes it that recruiting thing. It's crazy.
Well, Coach, and obviously we want to get back to the football game because that was the highlight of the weekend. And the highlight for you guys came on the defensive side of the ball. I thought Pete Kropp played his best football game that I've ever saw Pete Kropp play.
Pete Kropp actually was our defensive player of the week, and he did a great job filling in for Trey Willeberger and made his presence known, made a couple big plays for us, and you know, just did a nice job all day long coming down and putting some hits on some backs and some wide outs and kind of keeping the football in front of him. So, yeah, Pete did a great job for us on defense.
And then you talked about Tommy Flanagan, credited with the turnover, but outside of that, he had a monster game in a variety of places.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he punted very well. He was over 40 yards per punt. I mean, he caught 11 balls for 190-something yards. And, you know, he dropped a pass. It was a pretty difficult pass to catch in the back of the end zone. He had the effort deal where he was trying to stretch out and get the ball in the end zone and ended up fumbling it, you know. So, you know, but, again, he's trying to win, and he's giving you 100%. And, again, the guy is just woven into the fabric of our offensive football team right now, and he's a big-time weapon for us right now.
Darryl, do you have a chance after the game to review the film and take complaints? If you get a problem with an official, to take a complaint and go over that with the director of officials in the RMAC? How does that work?
We rate the officials every week through the RMAC office, and we're allowed to, you know, rate them from excellent to poor, and on a wide variety of issues that are associated with the game. The management of the game and how they handled this and that and their appearance and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we do that every week. And you can send the director of officials and the commissioner of the RMAC, J.R. Smith, you can send them a video of plays that you think that maybe the officials didn't do the best job of interpreting what actually happened. So, and that's pretty wide. I don't know a conference probably in college football that doesn't do that.
We're talking with Darryl Morris here for a couple of minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show, getting ready for their biggest game of the year because it's the next one. I'm sure that's what's going to be said by everybody in camp this week. But a couple of things before we ask about what's so good about them. You've had an interesting situation with your place kicker, and we've seen that the last few years here. Now, Nick did well last week. He missed a field goal for you yesterday. He's actually your backup. I understand you've kind of been trying out some kids to see if you can get another kicker on the team. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we have added a young man by the name of Sam Simon, who is a soccer player at Kearney High School. We got a hold of a men's soccer coach at Kearney High and asked for some names of guys that have played soccer for him that were in this area. Sam's a freshman that goes to school here. I believe he was on Kearney High's football team when he was a sophomore. We had five or six guys come out. We had him try out, and we picked Sam out of the bunch, and he's got a strong leg. He's got a leg to put the ball down around the goal line off the tee when you're kicking off. He has not kicked field goals a lot in his athletic career, so he's still kind of learning how to do that. But he does have a much stronger leg than Nick does. right now. Don't know whether he'll be any more accurate than Nick has been or not been, but he certainly does have the ball deeper on kickoffs, which we need because right now we're pooching a lot of kicks and giving the opponent the ball on the 35-40-yard line, so we need to try to get that ball kicked a little bit deeper and see if we can't get guys around the 20.
Speaking of Kearney High, weekly question, what's the status on Rustin Dring?
Well, Rusty's still, they've changed their approach to his treatment a little bit. They've taken him out of the boot. They're trying to get some blood flow down to that fatty tissue down in his lower foot. And it's just kind of a day by day, week by week. And we have a lot of conversations about it. And Dr. Slosky, our orthopedic surgeon from New West Sports Medicine, is closely monitored in that situation. And we're just trying to get him healed up as fast as we can. But I would say right now it probably doesn't look good that he'll play this week either.
I want to go back to, and that's bad news for Loper fans out there, but, Coach, you go back to the kicking. Nick, the coverage units, yeah, he had to play some cat-and-mouse games on the kickoff coverage units, but you know what? He placed the ball where he could place it, and then you covered them pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way we're kicking the football with Nick is he's popping the ball up. We'd like him to get it down around the 25-yard line. He's hanging it up somewhere around the 30 or 35, but he gets a little bit of height on it. Obviously, since the ball's not kicked down the field very far, we are holding teams to about 6-7 yards on returns. But even, you know, if the guy catches the ball in the 35 and he runs 6 yards, you know, they've got pretty good field position. So we need to try to get that football down the field a little bit further. We still want it placed well. We want it somewhere between the hash and the numbers, either left or right, and a little bit deeper so that we can maybe pin somebody down inside the 20 or not giving the ball on the 40-yard line. Obviously, mathematically, every time they get started on the 40-yard line, you know, you're putting your defense in a hole. One first down, they punt the football, they've got you backed up pretty good. So, that's where we're trying to get somebody that can kick the ball down the field for us.
Well, he doesn't hold weekly press conferences, but when you're number top of the five in the country, there's going to be people, he's got to get his time here, and we appreciate the time of Coach Daryl Morris every week here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So I got one more question before we get to Pueblo, because Daddy and I have went back and forth on this issue with the boys down in Lincoln, but obviously the offense that you have moves the ball. The last couple of weeks, with time winding down in the first half, you guys have elected to try and take your shots to get in scoring range, and that's basically without a field goal kicker. You got to get pretty close. Is that your call? Do you and Russ talk about that and just talk about the decisions of, instead of turning and handing it off, trying to get the ball down the field? And you've been successful by doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, again, we go by what we see at practice and what we evaluate off of film on our own football team. And right now, Nick stole our kicker, just hasn't won my confidence for me to line him up and try to kick a 35, 40-yard field goal or, you know, something like that. So, I've got my confidence lies in Jake Spitzelberger and Tommy Flanagan and Eli Hammond and some of those guys, and the guys up front. So we get down somewhere towards halftime, and it's either kick a field goal or try to score a touchdown. Right now, I'm probably going to go with Jake Spitzelberger.
Fair enough, and I agree. You should try and score. Your offense moves the ball.
Well, Pueblo comes in on Saturday, Coach. Everybody's going to bill this as for the RMAC championship, even though there's games to play, and we saw what has happened already. But what makes their team tick?
Well, they've just been doing a great job since they started football about 4 years ago, and they've recruited good players, so they've got good players. I wouldn't call them a flashy football team, either on offense or defense, but I don't think their quarterback's thrown an interception this year. So they take care of the football offensively. They've got two quality running backs that they're going to hand it off and let them come downhill and try to throw try to run the toss sweep on you and stuff like that. So they're going to line up, just play football offensively and defensively for that matter. They do a pretty nice job of disguising things in the secondary. It's not going to be a quiz as to where they've lined up up front on defense, but the secondary does a pretty good job of decoying and not tipping off their hand necessarily as to what they're doing. So that'll be a little bit of a challenge for us perhaps, but they run well, they tackle well, they rally to the football very well. I wouldn't call them the biggest football team defensively that we've played, but again, they're just solid coached football team.
Everybody else ready to go other than Rustin?
I think so. We might get Eli Hammond back. Eli's feeling pretty good. I think we may have lost Adam Lehnert for the week. He's got a little bit of a bone bruise on his knee. So Corey Morton had a sprained ankle, but I think he's coming back from that. So for the most part, I think we're going to be decently healthy for this time of the year after having played, you know, 6-7 games in a row. So I think we're in pretty good shape.
Well, things are going well for the Lopers. Fans, get out and support them. There's no reason not to. This Saturday, 1 o'clock, Foster Field, UNK, Colorado State, Pueblo. Could be the last big conference game in the RMAC Conference. Coach, we always appreciate the time, and we'll see you Saturday.
Hey, thanks, guys.
That is Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK.
Obviously a huge game. He knows that. The players all know that, Doug. I think they're excited. It's Shadron UNK last week, 20-13. You got out there with a win. And when Shadron was on top of the mountain, it always came down to the last possession. You know, UNK would rise up when they had some struggles some of those years. It's UNK Shadron. They butt heads. One of those games. You know what? You go back to the opportunities UNK in the first half. And yeah, if everything would have worked right, they would have been ahead 24-3 in that one. They weren't ahead 24-3. It was 7-3 at the half.
Very businesslike today for Coach. Very businesslike. Looking forward to that. And Wayne, they're helping out Tony. They're back in the rankings at 24 because they've won all five of their games since UNK beat them, including beating the number one team in the country. 1-2 in the country play each other this week. Terry Bowden's North Alabama takes on Delta State of Mississippi. So,
and Delta State's already got one loss. Is that correct?
Well, that's what this says.
I looked at the poll earlier.
We don't follow the poll as close as you do Division One because it changes so much, and we're very unfamiliar with these teams. You just happen to know that Terry Bowden coaches North Alabama. Bloomsburg of Pennsylvania is third. UNK fourth. Washburn is fifth. Wayne State of Michigan is sixth. Then Pittsburgh State seventh. Northwest Missouri State eighth. Minnesota Duluth ninth. Yeah, there you go. Tony Harper's going to join us here after this break. And don't forget all the guests on the Doug and Daddy Show, taken care of by our friends at BK. Don't forget, you can find out what's going on at BK by getting on Facebook and typing in BK North. How about a burger for breakfast? Their full menu is available all day long. Two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte.
Gully.
Yes, Greeny.
Did you know that Capital One is in its second year of the Capital One Cup?
Oh, yeah. Tell me a little more about that.
Well, go look. The Capital One Cup recognizes the best men's and women's Division One athletic programs in the country.
Wow, Greeny, that's some good stuff.
Yeah, it is, and this is better. Capital One annually awards $200,000 in scholarships to the best men's and $200,000 in scholarships to the best women's programs.
All right, how do I find out how my Fighting Irish are doing?
Easy. Go to CapitalOneCup.com and vote for the Capital One Cup Impact Performance at ESPN.com/Capital One Cup.
How do you make car care simple? Put all the experts you need under one roof. That's how Midas works. Whether it's oil changes, brakes, alignments, or advanced engine diagnostics, the choice is simple. Drive all over town or head to Midas, where you'll find technicians trained on state-of-the-art equipment, all in one convenient location. How's that for making car care simple? Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Visit us at Midas.com.
Jerseys has all the games you want to see for the season. Get to Jerseys on Husker game days. Free Jello shots for everyone when the Huskers score a touchdown. Beer and lots of food specials. Jerseys has the full NFL package and offers $3 Bloody Marys all day long. And the best bucket prices in town. Remember, there are specials every night at Jerseys. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Jerseys Sports Bar and Grill, located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, North Kearney, where the game and the grill are always on.
Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get the hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With paintless dent repair, not only does it cost less, involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hell breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
Create a lasting remembrance of your loved one with help from the compassionate family at Brand Wilson Funeral Home and Cremation. Family-owned since 1935, Brand Wilson was founded to provide truly personalized services in a beautiful and dignified setting at an affordable lower cost. Brand Wilson Funeral Home and Cremation, Our family caring for yours. With locations in Hastings, Kennesaw, Harvard, and Roseland. Online at brandwilson.com.
The American League Championship Series on ESPN Radio. The Rangers are halfway to a return to the World Series. Up 2-0.
Back to first, double play!
Now they head to Detroit, where the Tigers look to turn the series around.
A swing and a high fly ball, deep left field, it is gone!
Game 3 of the Tigers and Rangers.
Catch all the action tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop today with a spotty chance of a shower storm late today. With highs around 76, south winds will become breezy at times to around 10 to 20. Tonight, there's a slight chance for showers and storms. I'm Paul Tremblay. Right now, 55.
We're back in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. Sometimes you're funny.
That I am.
That's good stuff. Hey, glad to have you here at the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth as we're getting around to all of our games and all of our activities. Football games, and there were a few yesterday, although none of them ended up close. That's got to be hard to get up for, especially if you're the underdog going in after the storms on Friday. Also to the volleyball matches, Lou Platte, Fort Kearney going on. We'll be headed up to Ord tonight for the Lou Platte Conference Volleyball Semifinals, which you can hear on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. The top four seeds all moved in somewhat easily last night. First game will be defending champion Kearney Catholic against St. Paul at 6, followed by Ord and Wood River in the second semifinal match tonight. We'll be cruising there in our Midway 2010 Chevrolet Silverado LTZ crew cab. Check it out with the Victory Red exterior, ebony leather interior and heated seats, dual climate control, the 18-inch whiteout lining leather tires. It's got the full Z71 package with all kinds of GM accessories, 315 pounds of horsepower, 21 miles per gallon on the highway. They've got so many great trucks like that on there a lot. If you don't want this exact one, then check it out at Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. Get online at thinkmidway.com. You can like them at Facebook. They give you some free oil changes. They give you some deals. They let you know what's going on there as well. So many ways to stay in touch with Andy, Ryan, and the entire sales staff and maintenance staff that take care of you with their hassle-free pricing at the Midway Auto Group.
As always on Tuesday, we're joined after another win by Hastings College football coach Tony Harper. Coach, congratulations, and the offense rolled again.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was a fun game to be at, and it's nice when you put some points on the board.
How many more teams called Dakota fill in the blank can we schedule?
We have taken care of that whole state. We need to concentrate on Nebraska schools now.
let's just do it. Let's start out right here because I don't want to wait till the end of the interviewer. Tyson Burrish.
Yeah, we kind of snuck that one in there with him returning the kicks. You know, stay tuned. Maybe we'll let him take a snap or two at quarterback. We'll see.
He's named the special teams player of the week. He's been doing it on defense. Now he does it in special teams. So congratulations to him. Dakota gives you a little wake-up call. They get in the end zone in the first quarter. And as you mentioned last week, they'd been playing good first halves. But then Burrish takes it back, and that lights a fire under you guys, and you have your best offensive half of football this year.
You know, it was nice, and Coach Holzkoll and Coach Kamara doing a great job over there with those guys, you know, and John was moving the ball around, doing some good things. He got us in the end zone, and we got Matt Overmiller on the field. He threw a touchdown. We moved around. What I was really pleased to see was our offensive line up front. And Keenan Balaj, a tailback in the second half, really found his niche and hit the hole and got north and south quick.
If you watch the coaches' show on NFL Network, one of the things they zero in on every week, red zone scores and the chances you had. 6 for 6. Can't get any better than that, Coach.
Well, no, it was nice to see. You know, we've kind of been struggling down there. We'd turn the ball over or miss a field goal or do something like that, kind of shoot ourselves in the foot. And I think it was good for the kids to feel like, okay, this isn't always going to happen. We got to make our own breaks, and that's how football is supposed to be played there.
Talking with Tony Harper, the head football coach at Hastings College. They went out, they took on a Dakota State team out of conference that was looking for their first win and got the job done. Now it's time to get back to the task at hand. But in a game like this, maybe a few more kids get in there, Coach. Who else came in and took advantage of their opportunity?
Well, you know, besides Matt Overmiller, quarterback, we got in there. Nate Arl had a big touchdown catch. I think it was like 61 yards or something like that. And we got some good things in the linebacker. You know, Curtis Hudeberg got in there, and we did some things there. We saw Kane Ellenberg in the secondary. And, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the kids, teach them, okay, when we're close to shutting the door, we got to nail it shut. And the second half, we had some hiccups, so we made it a point as coaches, fellas, you can't have a let-up. We got to play good, but overall, it was a pretty good experience.
Is it a little different when they're going to throw the ball 44 times, and you know coming in they're going to throw the ball? I mean, the defensive backs, they don't see that a lot in your conference.
It was a little bit different, and Coach Westfall did a great job with our calls and the coverages and different things like that. And I think what we got to do is we got to understand who we're playing, and we got to get the mindset right so we can make those plays. You know, we didn't do a whole lot of blitzing or anything like that in the second half, and the bad thing that we saw was we let them score twice. We, as the defensive coaches, we don't want that to happen, but we responded. We got a couple picks, a couple sacks. So it was nice to see the kids change their mindset from a team that's going to run the ball 40 times a game to a team that's going to throw the ball 40 times.
Coach, what do you think about the status now of the conference? We've talked about how it's kind of been overturned, upturned. Teams that aren't used to being at the top are there. Doan goes down this weekend. Your thoughts as you get ready for the second half of the season on the conference?
I'll tell you what, man, you better not sleep on this conference because we are all over the place. You know, I really don't know. I mean, you look at Concordia, I think they're a perfect example, just like Doan. I mean, they haven't lost a game since they beat us. You know, Coach Winter's doing a good job down there. You know, we're watching some Midland film. I mean, they've lost three games in a row, but two of the three, it was right there. It was the last play of the game when they lost. So you better come ready to play, and your kids better have the right mindset. And that comes with the coaches preparing during the week. So, I mean, anytime anybody can get them this year.
You bring up Concordia. Even after a win like this one, do you think back and go, man, if we'd have played half of what we did today, we'd have beat Concordia by a couple touchdowns, or do you just have to let that one go?
Well, you know, I could give you the normal coach speak and tell you we don't talk about it, but I'd be lying to you. we've looked back on it, and I think from a positive standpoint, we can point to the kids, be like, listen, fellas, this is a missed opportunity. We can't afford no more of these the rest of the season. But we can't hang our hat on and feel bad about it. Hey, that game's in the books, but we got to learn from it, and I think our guys are getting a little bit closer and closer to doing that.
Our insiders there at Hastings College tell us that after, because now we can talk about it, our insiders there at Hastings College telling me that after the Concordia game, Coach Brown took the gold medal off and says he's not putting it back on until he deserves to wear it again.
Coach Brown is sitting in my office with that gold medal on right now.
Getting ready this week for Midland. Midland right there in the middle of the pack like you guys are. 2-3 in the conference and 3-3 overall. What makes them go?
They got athletes at every single position there is. Coach Teeley's done a great job up there. Their offensive line is a unit. Really good run blockers. Defensively, they're flying all over the place. They're playing a 3-4, and they just got two safeties that will hit you in the mouth if you come across the middle. So we're going to have to hold on to the football, and we're going to have to make them uncomfortable on the offense and make a punt the ball. It's going to be a tough game.
Okay, but you mentioned Burrish. You may see him all over the place. are we throwing curveballs at him when you got a playmaker like him?
You know, there's always that possibility. You know, Tyson was in my office on Sunday. Tyson was in my office on Monday. He says, Coach, when I can touch that ball on the offensive side of the ball? I go, Tyson, now listen, you scored one time. That's good. let's keep working on defense. But he's, you know, Tyson, Riley, Indiana, they're football players. And we wouldn't be doing those guys service if we didn't keep those things in the back of our mind. Everybody knows Tyson's a really good football player, so let's move him around and create mismatches for us. So we'll see what happens. He's just got to stop coming to my office and asking for the ball all the time.
Well, we're looking forward to another great game. You can hear it on 1230 KHAS this Saturday as Hastings College gets ready to take on Midland. You sound like you feel good with where you're at right now, considering where you were 3 weeks ago.
And you know why? It's because we got a great coaching staff here. I like everybody on this team. I mean, we can't keep living in the past. You know, we got to learn from our mistakes. We got to keep getting better. And, you know, that's the old coach speak. But I like to keep it a little bit loose. But we get out on the field, we got to focus and clamp it down a little bit.
You hold on to the ball for 35 minutes, you're going to have a win this week.
Yeah, I think I might bring that up to those offensive coaches. What do you guys think about that?
Keep taking care of the ball, boys. Keep taking care of the ball. 490 yards of offense, and let's see if they can keep things going. Tony, we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Best of luck Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you for all coming.
They're all winning, baby, and that's what we like. Coming up this week, Tony Harper and the boys at home taking on their next opponent on the schedule in Midland. I think I said Morningside. I misspoke. Midland coming in this weekend. Our man, Peter Yazvak, tells us that Delta State is 6-1. They lost to 1AA. I'm FCS member. Nobody knows what FCS, FBS, BS. Delta lost to Northwestern State of Louisiana 24-23.
Oh,
they're always good. They're always in the rankings. We'll take a break. Shelly Smith from ESPN going to join us to talk about the passing of Al Davis. She got to know him very well, wrote a book on the man that is yet to be published, but is finished kind of in that between stage. They have finished it up, she told me this weekend, so we'll talk to her coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Would you rather watch football this weekend at your mommy's house?
Go, touchdown!
Wow, football is my favorite show!
Maybe with your snooty neighbor.
Cheers!
You spilled my apple tinny all over the duvet.
Or you could go tailgating with real football fans at Buffalo Wild Wings and enjoy an endless supply of delicious wings and ice-cold beer. Heck, you can still bring mom.
Touchdown!
Go tailgating at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
If I set it free, I wonder how far it will go.
We're CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans across the country to what matters most. We're committed to providing better service with consistently fast speeds and 5-year price lock guarantees. And since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest, straightforward service delivered by real people who are happy to help you explore what's next. See how far you might go. CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
Oh, give me freedom.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for 3 touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop today with a spotty chance of a shower storm late today. With highs around 76, south winds will become breezy at times to around 10 to 20. Tonight, there's a slight chance for showers and storms. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 55.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Don't forget to vote on our ATS Hot Topic. Who was Nebraska's MVP on Saturday? Go to our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com, where you can sign up to like us on Facebook. You can listen to podcasts from the Doug and Daddy Show and anything you may have missed. Matt Davison joined us yesterday, and of course, all the great guests that we have had time and time again here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Right now, we go to one of the biggest guests of the year, Shelly Smith. She's from ESPN. She's all over the place. She was at Texas A&M, Arkansas. Then she comes to Lincoln for the Ohio State-Nebraska game. How are you, Shelly?
I'm tired. You make it sound like I'm now even more tired.
Well, it's good to mix a little pleasure with all the work that we got you out there.
Well, I came for fun to the Nebraska-Ohio State game. I didn't have to work, and we had like a girls' reunion, so it was really fun, really fun. And then the game, of course, was just, you know, outstanding.
Is it a game like that that makes you wish you were working?
Oh, no. I had so much fun cheering. You know, I never get to cheer. And I really can't be, you know, I can't wear Nebraska stuff. I can't do any of that. But I was clapping a lot. You know, it was really, it was raining, so I left. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to stand in the rain unless I have to work. So I was watching on TV, and it was really fun. Really, really fun.
Shelly, you know, obviously a big, big weekend. Where were you at when you were in Lincoln, but when you heard the news that Al Davis passed away? Did you know
sick? No, I didn't know. My daughter called me, and apparently, and, you know, and she knows I'm working on this book, and I've been working on it for 2 years, and so she called me, which I thought was funny of all people to give me the news. And, you know, it was shocking because I know he thought he was going to live to be 110. His mother lived till she was close to 100, and we thought there was at least 20 more years of him having him around. So it was it's shocking that he's really gone.
On the national scene, I don't remember him being out in public lately. Did you know where his health was and how long it had been since you had talked to him?
Well, he didn't want me writing this book. He's really upset about it, was really upset. It's hard to talk about him in the past tense. The last time I saw him, you know, he was very frail. He was walking with a walker. You know, you saw some of the stuff on TV. When I saw him, he was very frail, very hard for him to get around. His son, Mark, was getting a lot more involved, driving him around in a golf cart out of practice and those types of things. And so the last time I saw him, when I said hello to him, he just started screaming at me and screaming for his bodyguards to get, you know, take me away, get me away, get me out of there, because he didn't want this book being written. He just, he was afraid of his legacy. And I said, you know, I explained to him numerous times that I was going to only write the truth. I'm not writing propaganda. I'm not writing stuff. I'm just writing with the truth. And he just never accepted that. Which is sad. I always thought maybe I'd talk him into helping me a little bit, you know, but he was really angry last time he saw me.
Out of all the people, if you interviewed and talked to 30, I'm just coming up with a number, 30 people, how many really liked Al Davis and how many were the other way with Al Davis?
That's a good question, because he's a polarizing figure. If you're one of them, then they love him. You know, all the former Raiders. But if you have ever done anything to cross him, then you hate him. And there are former Raiders out there who were afraid to talk, wouldn't talk to me because they were afraid of the power that they thought he still had. But there are some who absolutely despise him, think he's the most evil, it's so hard talking to him, was the most evil, mean man. Ran his organization, treated the employees horribly, was just a mean person to be around. I got that. But then I also got, you know, he paid for my father's, you know, funeral, and he, you know, did this and he did that, and just absolutely revered by those who are on his good side, you know. But there's equal amounts of both, and now with him passing, I'm going to have to go back and you know, revisit all my notes to see who I can get to talk to me now, because I just think it makes the book even better.
We're talking with Shelly Smith of ESPN, who has joined us from time to time on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking about the passing of Al Davis. So as you have written this book, who have you put your faith in to get most of your information from? Who's been most helpful or that we'll hear about in the book?
Well, a lot of them don't want their names used, but I've really tried to get people to go on the record with their names, and some have and some haven't. Some I've had to corroborate stories with other people, and so nobody can tell who it's from. But my best sources were people who were inside the organization up until like a couple of years ago. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. I'm at USC practice absolutely right away watching them. And, you know, so it was a lot of people inside the organization, people who I've built up trust with over the last 20 years, you know, of working in this business, who trust me to not divulge their names, but and also trust me to tell the truth and not just the propaganda that a lot of people want to say bad and good about Al.
Why? I just find it hard to believe when you have that much power and that much influence, which, say what you want, when did he turn nasty? Or has it been like that for a long, long time?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the theory from these people who know him best and who are in the inside, was that when his body started to break down, he became really angry about that he couldn't get around the way he used to. When he had to go in a walker, when he had to use a wheelchair, you know, he couldn't stand on practice anymore. And he really started to get mean about that because he was not handling that process very well. He was never, you know, Mr. Friendly. You know, he took over that team by force, you know, and the wife of one of the former owners hates him to this day, you know, and he always cared. The thing was, everything was done because he wanted to win. He didn't hire Art Shell because he was worried about race relations. He hired Art Shell because he thought he could win. He didn't hire Tom Flores because he thought it would be cool to have the first Latino coach. No, he thought Tom Flores could win, and that's the biggest thing about him, is that he was very loyal to people, but he was also very much predictable. He had a routine. He was living at the Hilton Hotel. He had renovated three rooms, and depending on who you believe, it's because his wife couldn't stand him anymore and kicked him out, or he couldn't get up the steps to the house anymore. And again, it's who you talk to, and both those stories will be in there. But he just started to break down, and it really, really frustrated him.
ESPN Shelley Smith joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What do you think now happens with the Raider organization? They're having a good start to this season, which could make the transition easier. Is it stay in the family? What happens?
Well, my feeling, and this is not based on any information that I have, just on my feeling about what Mark Davis wants to do. I think he's going to sell the team. I think he'll sell the majority of it. And Amy Trask may be involved. She may not be involved. But I don't think Mark wants to run the team. And that's just a feeling. Again, I haven't talked to Mark. Mark and I were, you know, friendly, and he passed on good words. He said, Dad always liked you. He goes, maybe he'll do it. But he never got him to talk him into it. But I just don't think Mark wants the pressure of running the team. I think probably he'll sell a majority of it, and it will be, you know, someone else's either joy or problem.
Shelley, this is a question asked by somebody yesterday to me, and I didn't know I didn't have an answer for him. He was a coach in the AFL Raiders. How does one go from being a coach to owning and becoming a multi-millionaire and having all the money when you're simply a coach?
Yeah, he was a coach, and then he you know, became the commissioner, and then he went back to the team, and he basically screwed his partners. And he basically, he bought them out. He had them vote behind their back, voted him, you know, at the majority interest. And then the partners who own the Raiders now, he just made sure that he was the controlling partner. And he didn't make great investments. He made investments like in real estate in Las Vegas. There was a time that we thought he was mobbed up because he was doing work with these guys in Vegas who were mobbed up, but he was just investing money. So he made a lot of money that way, and he just built it up basically from the ground. But he, you know, he's an amazing story because he started with nothing, you know, but he conned his way into just about everything he did. He conned his way into school. He conned his way as a coach, as a scout. He conned his way to get to the Raiders, and he conned his way to become the commissioner, and then he screwed his partners and became owner of the team. But you can't argue with the success he had, at least early. You know, that's what he did, and he built them. He was really innovative because he understood the power of the color black, for example. And, you know, that whole, you know, Hell's Angels image that was coming up when the team was just starting in Oakland. So he made good decisions. He was very, very private, so we didn't know a lot of what he did. But, you know, it's not as lucrative as an organization as you might think it is right now, but it's still got a lot of clout.
It's interesting because as far as sports icons go, you said polarizing is a word you used. Mm-hmm. I challenge, you know, great NFL fans out there, say, name me eight NFL owners, and you get to about six, and you're just drawing a blank. I mean, you don't pop them off. They're not normal names.
It's not like it used to be. I mean, Al's been around or had been around for 40, our whole lifetime. So, Shelley, do we know when the book comes out, or is there a chance to get an excerpt online or something?
Well, there's. I'll tell you now. There's an excerpt. I'm getting killed. The Raiders fans are killing me on the internet with this excerpt that's out. It's on ESPNLA.com. And you can read about how I got into doing the book and Al yelling at me and not wanting me to do it and me getting strange phone calls with voice scramblers. And but I look for the book to be out in the spring. We changed publishers. ESPN Books has come and taken a different direction, so we're changing publishers. But I mean, I got a lot of work still to do, because I got to go back to all those people who wouldn't talk to me and see now if they will. So it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my career, and but it's gonna be good whenever we get it done.
All right, are we gonna break even on this deal?
Who, you?
No, you. I mean, we're gonna be all right after this deal.
You mean not? I probably can't go to any Raiders games. I probably, and the fans are hating.
But I mean, will it be a financial windfall for you?
Getting signed to our web?
Is it gonna be a good profit deal for you?
Oh yeah, it already is. It already is. You know, I got a good publishing contract up front.
Good.
And I took my parents with some of the money, and I even told Al this. I said, you know, because of you, because of your life, I can take my parents to the Masters. I did. I bought the package. Uh-oh, I'm about to get hit. Bought the package and took him to the Masters, and I sent Al a picture, and I said, you know, I tried every trick in the book to try to get him to talk to me. And, you know, I did. I tried to prey on his loyalties. I to work for Stars and Stripes. He's a big military guy. I'm sad that I won't have his input. But I'm actually staring at Lane Kiffin right now, and now I'm hoping he will talk to me. So, see, it's an ongoing process.
Shelly, that's why we love to have you on the Doug and Daddy Show.
your show.
I missed you last week in Lincoln, but we'll see you again.
You got to man up. All right.
Thanks, Shelly. Have fun. Take care, girl.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Great insight on Al Davis. I guess just kind of confirms what a lot of people in this part of the country would have thought. I mean, that's what you would think of Al Davis. I think that's the way a lot of people think of Al Davis. We've got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up. We'll do it after this.
JCPenney knows you don't like ads for clothes, so just for listening to this one for Levi's, I'm going to tell you how to survive a visit from your mother-in-law using the same tactics employed during a grizzly attack. Never run. If she thinks you're running, she'll think you're prey. If you lock eyes, hit the ground in a fetal position. She'll stop attacking when she feels you're no longer a threat.
These survival tips were brought to you by JCPenney, where you'll find all-American Levi's jeans, 514s and 505s, just $34.99 at Levi's lowest prices of the season.
JCPenney, everybody wins.
Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Office end October 31st.
You could win big with Wolverine's Backyard Bonanza Sweepstakes. I'm Jason Cameron, licensed contractor and TV host. If you're like me, you love being outdoors. Now is your chance to win the ultimate backyard. I'm talking about a stainless gas grill, fire pit, furniture, the works. Enter for a chance to win now at Wolverine.com. The Wolverine Backyard Bonanza.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents in the 50 United States and D.C. 18 or older with a valid email address. Visit Wolverine.com by November 30th, 2011 for official rules, prize details, and instructions to enter. Void where prohibited.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Whether you need to pick off a prairie dog or call in a turkey, the Boathouse in Grindallen has a variety of ammunition and hunting accessories that true outdoorsmen like yourself want. The Boathouse is more than just boats. It's ammo, live bait, and it's the right stuff, all in one place, so you can have more time in the fields or the lake, doing what you like to do best. The Boathouse. Boats, hunting, accessories, ammo, and live bait. North Highway 281 in Grindallen.
More exciting sports action can be heard on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com this week. High school football on Friday includes Ravenna at Blue Hill on the Breeze 94.5, Adams Central at McCook in a Class B top five matchup on 1230 KHAS, and Aurora at Hastings on ESPN 1550, plus the Lou Platt Conference Volleyball Tournament Tuesday and Thursday on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop today with a spotty chance of a shower storm late today. With highs around 76, south winds will become breezy at times to around 10 to 20. Tonight, there's a slight chance for showers and storms. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 55.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. where we are back in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth, and the way we like to wrap up Tuesday's show is to make somebody a winner. Don't forget, tomorrow, no Husker lunch because of the bye week. We will be back at Cunningham's next Wednesday, the 19th, looking back at Ohio State with Sean Callahan, getting ahead for Minnesota, Michigan State, Northwestern, seeing where the Huskers sit. And maybe a little more recruiting talk, too, because this is when some things can get turned around. But right now, it's time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you've not won in the last 2 months, you've got a chance to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's. Call us now at 888-455-3776. We've got some doozies today, folks. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. I don't know if they're easy today. I don't know if they're hard today. Tony, sometimes we have to give an easy one, don't we?
I think you throw a softball, yeah, every now and then.
You have a softball question?
I don't have a softball question.
Let's go to the phone line. Who are we chatting with?
Jesse.
Hey, let's give you a choice. Baseball, golf, football. Which one you want?
Football.
Daddy, you had the football question.
How many players on Nebraska's roster are from the state of Minnesota?
Because that's who we play next.
Right.
Three.
That is incorrect. But an excellent, excellent try.
Okay, 888-455-ESPN. You know what breaks them down by state in there. You know that, right? Okay, just check. Let's stay on the phone line. Who are we chatting with?
This is Bob.
Bob, do you want baseball, football, or golf?
Let's try football.
Oh, Bob, wrong choice, because I know you'd have got the baseball one right. Daddy, what do you got for football? Same one?
How many players from the state of Minnesota are on the Nebraska football roster?
Say two.
It's an excellent guess, Bob. You're incorrect.
Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Andy,
you want football, golf, or baseball?
Let's try baseball.
Robin Ventura named the manager of the Chicago White Sox. He officially took over the helm today. Where did he play his college baseball? Got a guess?
Clemson?
Nope, not right. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Love to hear from you. Who are we chatting with?
It's Adam.
Adam. What? Ooh, I like that one, Daddy. You want football, golf, or baseball?
I'll try football.
Daddy, you got football.
Michael Vick became the NFL's career-leading rusher for quarterbacks on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. Who did he pass?
I have no idea.
Thanks for trying. 888-455-3776.
Yeah, okay. It was the other one. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with? Hello, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia? We move on. Back to Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
This is Jeremy.
Jeremy, you want baseball? You want football? You want golf?
Let's try baseball.
Okay, I'll give you the question. Where did Robin Ventura play his college ball?
ASU.
Incorrect. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. You never know, do you, Tony?
I thought you were going to Robin Ventura another way about the home run deal. Never been a walk-off grand slam in playoff baseball. Well, Robin Ventura would have done it, but they mobbed him around first base. He didn't get credited for the grand slam. He only got credited for a single. So yesterday when Cruz hit it, that was the first one.
All right, let's stay on the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Mike from Hastings.
Mike, do you want golf or do you want football?
Football.
Daddy, bring him one.
Michael Vick became the NFL's career-leading rusher for quarterbacks on Sunday. Who did he pass?
Randall Cunningham.
That's a great, great answer, and you're the winner of Tuesday Travel.
All right,
hold on the line.
Yeah, hang on. You are the winner. Congratulations. The answer, see, I guessed Culpepper and Cunningham, obviously. That good one there. Baseball, Robin Ventura went to Oklahoma State. Daddy, how many players from Minnesota are on the Nebraska roster?
One out of Wayzata High School in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Redshirt freshman Toby Ukayemi.
And my golf question, Daddy, which we didn't get to ask. Organizers say that the 2015 British Open will be held again at St. Andrews in the old course, which they're doing every 5 years since 1990, and they need to keep doing that. It needs to be there at least that often. Who won the last British Open held at St. Andrews?
Was just there, wasn't it?
Yeah. Who won it? I mean, it wasn't just there because it wasn't there this year. But
no, but I don't know.
Louis Oosthuizen!
Oh.
Oosthuizen was the winner! That would have been our question, so there you go. Chuck Niehaus, the interim commissioner of the Big 12, says the league is set with 10 teams for next year with the addition of TCU, even though Missouri is exploring a possible departure. Maybe they could go to the MAC or the WAC or the...
Great sign.
Or the Summit.
Great sign. I know some people watching the K-State-Missouri game saw it Saturday on the marquee of the business in Manhattan. Said, hey, Mizzou, the SEC called. Oh, wait, no, they didn't.
We want to thank Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College, and Shelly Smith from ESPN to talk a little Al Davis for all joining us on the show today. Tomorrow, our Loper Link plus Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
Hey, looking forward to having you join us once again tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 on your AM dial in Hastings. See you for now.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.